Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jayam Vishnu Pabrahma, Sadhguru Acharya Sadhguru Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Nanti Goti Vaishnava Brinda Ki, Parampara Ki, Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Prem Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasada Gaura Bhakti Brinda Ki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gokopinath Shyamakun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Harinam Sankirtan Ki Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Chapter 19, entitled The Lord Instructs Srila Rupa Goswami, Text 52-54. So we'll chant together, and then 54 we'll chant responsively. Prabhu kripa panya duhe duihata yudhi dina hanya stuti kare vinayachari. After receiving the Lord's causeless mercy, the brothers folded their hands and in great humility offered the following prayers unto the Lord. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goradishe Namaha. O most munificent incarnation, you are Krishna himself appearing as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani. and you are widely distributing pure love of Krishna, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Yogyanamata, we chant responsibly. Yogyanamata muvanam dalayo. Ola gayan apyakarot pramatam. Swaprema sampat sudaya putehang. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mamang Prapadye. Yogyanamatam Bhuvanam Dalayor. Ula Gayanapyakarat Pramatam. Swaprema Sampat Sudaya Bhutteham. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mamang Prapadye. Yogyanamatam Bhuvanam Dayalur. Ula Gayanapyakarat Pramatam. Swaprema Sampat Sudaya Tupetam. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mamang Prapadye. Personality of Godhead, who? Agyanamatam. Maddened by ignorance or foolishly passing time in karma, jnana yoga, and Mayavad philosophy. Bhuvanam. The entire three worlds. Dayaluhu. so merciful. Ulagayan, subduing such processes as karma, jnana, and yoga. Api, despite. Akarot, made. Pramatam, maddened. Swaprema sampat sudaya, by the nectar of his personal devotional service, which is invaluable treasure of bliss. Adbhuta iham, whose activities are wonderful. Sri Krishna Taitanyam, unto Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amam, that. Prapadye, I surrender. Translation. We offer our respectful obeisances unto that merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead who has converted all three worlds which were maddened by ignorance and saved them from their diseased condition by making them mad with the nectar from the treasure house of love of God. Let us take full shelter of that Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, whose activities are wonderful. Let's read the verse together. We offer our respectful obeisances unto that merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead who has converted all three worlds which were maddened by ignorance and saved them from their diseased condition by making them mad with the nectar from the treasure house of love of God. Let us take full shelter of that Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, whose activities are wonderful. Purport by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This verse is found in Govinda Lilamrita 1-2. We offer our respectful obeisances unto that merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead who has converted all three worlds which were maddened by ignorance and saved them from their diseased condition by making them mad with the nectar from the treasure house of love of God. Let us take full shelter of that Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, whose activities are wonderful. So it was very nice to have Gaur Purnim this week and have this verse on Saturday. I thought I was so inspired by the many nice, wonderful discussions with devotees and lectures last weekend that I thought that this verse was very poignant in that regard of the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I was thinking about the Lord's appearance and this verse and how the phrase that we hear when something is very magnificent, that it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience or a once-in-a-lifetime event or a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and how the appearance of the Lord is even greater than that. It's greater than any material designation of magnificence that anybody could even imagine. It's even greater than the human imagination, in a sense, that you know the Lord appears once every 8,640,000,000 years. So that's a lot to say, that this is not a once in a lifetime, because that's it's packaged very nicely. But we can say about the Lord's appearance that it's a once in an every 8,640,000,000 years opportunity. So that's once in a day and night of Lord Brahma, or once in every 1,000 Kali Yugas. So it's in just this Kali Yuga of every 1,000 Kali Yugas. And that we can have the opportunity to hear about the Lord's pastimes, and how Prabhupada puts it, that we can dance with Krishna in this life. That the Lord is so merciful that he comes in this form of Lord Chaitanya. But really, what is the meaning of that mercy if we're not able to receive that mercy? And that was kind of my meditation for the week, is that the Lord is so merciful, but am I able to receive it? Am I able to see the Lord's mercy and experience it? You know, somebody who's a jeweler, they can look at a stone and see in that stone its value. They can see whether the stone is real or whether it's counterfeit. And if it's a real stone, they can see all the imperfections or lack thereof in that stone to see its monetary value. But somebody who is not trained as a jeweler, they will be easily fooled. You can give them a stone that is seemingly worthless, and they will accept it as the real thing. And I'm not a jeweler myself, but I know that so a pure diamond is so rare. And that in fact, when you have a pure diamond with no imperfections at all, it's actually more bewildering to be able to identify that stone as in fact a pure diamond, because false diamonds, or they have other types of gems that mimic diamonds, they have no imperfections. So even for that purest gem, to tell that it's real, you need to have a trained eye for that. So how is it that I can see the Lord's mercy if I have no training, no experience, no knowledge of that mercy or of the Lord? So in this chapter, the Lord instructs Srila Rupa Goswami, begins with Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. They have met the Lord in Ramkeli, and they're trying to rearrange their life in such a way that they can take shelter of the Lord. And in my own experience, the way I've experienced this is, how can I arrange my life in such a way that I can make chanting the most important part of my day? Whereas for Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, in this chapter, they're giving up their material life. They're trying to not really rearrange their material life. They are immediately giving up the material life to take the shelter of and follow Lord Chaitanya. For Rupa Goswami, it's slightly easier in a sense. But difficult in another sense. It's described how he gives up his wealth. He gives 50% in charity, 25% to his relatives, and then he keeps 25% for his own sustenance. And part of that he gives to a Bengali grocer to keep. Sanatana Goswami has more difficulty in the sense that he doesn't know how to get out of his position working for the Nawab, or the ruler of Bengal. So he decides to stay home sick. Has anybody stayed home sick from work when they were not actually sick? I'm sure it's happened. So he stayed home sick, but he stayed home sick to study the Srimad Bhagavatam and to chant and recite the Srimad Bhagavatam with scholars. So after some time of not going to work and being sick, the Nawab suspected something. He sent his physician there. The physician noted that he's not sick. He was lying. But he was lying to do devotional service. I don't know that I've done that. So the Nawab showed up there at his place, and he arrested him, because he found him there. He wasn't sick. He was just staying home from work. So Sanatana Goswami realized that the one way he could get out from his material responsibility is because he was such a hard worker, and he was doing so good in his service that he was liked by everyone. So he realized he had to become disliked. So in this way, the Nawab become very angry with him and arrested him. So this was part of Sanatana Goswami's plan to get out of his service. So yes, he got arrested a second time also. He was jailed, and then the Nawab went to go to Orissa. He was going to attack Orissa, and Sanatana would not go. So he was put in jail. According to the chapter, a second time he was arrested. At that point, the Lord left for Vrindavan, and Rupa Goswami had sent two Brahmins to keep an eye on the Lord in Jagannath Puri, so that when the Lord left, he could be alerted and that he can go and meet the Lord. So those Brahmins alerted Rupa Goswami that the Lord had left, and Rupa Goswami sent some message to Sanatana Goswami. He said, I gave some coins to a grocer, and you can use these coins to get bailed out from jail. So at that point, Rupa Goswami left and met the Lord in Prayag, which is at the confluence of the Ganga and the Yamuna. And he went there with his brother, who was named Anupama Malika, who was Sri Vallabha. And the Lord had a very large entourage with him in Prayag, and he was there at the temple of Bindu Madhava, worshipping the deity there in great ecstasy, dancing. The devotees were in ecstasy. And after that darshan, the Lord was staying with a Brahmin. And that's at that Brahmin's house is where we are in this verse, where Rupa Goswami and his brother meet the Lord. So when they meet the Lord, they give dandavats, the Lord touches his lotus feet to Rupa and his brother's head. And then his brother and Rupa Goswami, they recite these prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this prayer from Govinda Lilamrita, we offer our respectful obeisances unto that merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead who has converted all the three worlds which were maddened by ignorance and saved them from their diseased condition by making them mad with the nectar of the treasure house of love of God. So to receive the Lord's mercy, he gives mercy, and we receive the mercy. The mercy he gives is by making us mad with the nectar of the treasure house of love of God. And then the prayer says, let us take full shelter of that personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, whose activities are wonderful. To receive the mercy, we need to make some changes in our lives, like Sanatana and Rupa Goswami. And we need to make some rearrangements, and we need to give some things up. Because if we're going to be able to receive that mercy, we need to be able to see the Lord and his all of his perfections, like that perfect diamond. We need to be trained. We need to have the eye to see the perfection. And what does a jeweler do to be able to see the perfection of a diamond and know a true from a false diamond? He has some training. This is not something that he's just spontaneously born with and, you know, one day he's like, has that gift. He has to do some work. He has to make some rearrangements to get that education. He has to be willing. He has to have faith. He has to have a mentor. So similarly, if we want to receive the mercy of the Lord, we have to be able to recognize that mercy. And we have to make some rearrangements in our life. And we have to have some training and some mentorship so that we can be eligible to receive that mercy. Everyone is eligible to receive the mercy, but maybe not everybody really has the desire to be able to receive the mercy of the Lord. And the Lord is so merciful that even if we don't have a desire and we don't have an ability and we don't do any of those things, we still receive the mercy unknowingly. But what a wonderful thing if we can actually make some endeavor to receive, to be eligible to receive the Lord's mercy. So, I was thinking about, when did I have some, when did I make some changes in my life? Or when did the Lord's mercy start to creep into my own life? And the first thing that came to mind is that, you know, the material energy is very heavy. And that actually, many of the training and the education and the teaching that I had my whole life was a roadblock to me receiving the Lord's mercy. And that many of the things I had to maybe not unlearn and reject, but see them in a different perspective. For example, you know, I went to public school, and then I went to a very prestigious private school and received a religious education. And I remember studying history, and in history, whenever there was some discussion about Eastern religions, now I can't quote verbatim my teachers, but I just have this impression that I've carried with me in my adult life, is that, you know, polytheism is what they would call it, and it was just weird. You know, it was a weird philosophy, it was a weird practice, the people were different. You know, that was kind of my take home. Maybe it was just different. But what I've carried with me is that it was just strange. And this other term that comes along sort of with the description of Eastern philosophy is like false idols. You know, that term of false. So it wasn't right, it was wrong, basically. So this was an impediment to me receiving the Lord's mercy. I had to not unlearn that or reject it, but just understand it in a different context, in the context of the absolute truth and Srila Prabhupada's teachings. When I first came to Krishna consciousness and I saw the deities of Gornitai, that was the first thing that came to my mind. False idols. This is what you know, I learned about in school. And then also I was kind of confused because I was reading Bhagavad Gita and, you know, Lord Chaitanya is mentioned in the purports, that was the only book that I had read up until that point. I had no idea about, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita and even Srimad Bhagavatam. So when I first saw Gornitai on the altar there, I was thinking, you know, this doesn't make sense. Krishna's God, but, you know, they're worshiping these other two boys here. Why? You know, it's fitting with my material education, my religious education. No, but something, what I was missing and what I was looking for is a philosophy. I had such a yearning to understand, like, what is the meaning of life and something that really explains everything. And I found that in Bhagavad Gita. So I was inspired to, you know, be patient and kind of investigate further there. Because I was really missing that in my knowledge of religion. I remember one time I was in high school and I was having lunch with, actually I was, it just happened to be that I was having lunch that day, which maybe the only time, but with the student in the school that had the top grade. Like my school, in high school, like I said, it was this prestigious school, it was known all over the state, and every trimester they would list like the top students on a board. When you walked into the school, you would see it, you know, and, you know, my name never got up there, but it was down there, it was somewhere, but everybody knew who the top student was in the school. So that day I was eating lunch with the top student in the school, and we were talking about religion, You know, I would go before lunch. They had a little service, a little prayer service, and I would always go to the prayer service. You know, it was like 5 minutes, 5 or 6 minutes before lunch, and then began, and then I would go to lunch. I'd walk through the courtyard, and then we were sitting in the table right there, right by the entrance to the courtyard, and we were talking about religion and spirituality, and he said, you know, I don't believe that this is God, this person is God. And I was just, it just hit me, you know? I cannot believe this. I can't believe, it was almost like I just felt like, what am I doing here? You know, talking to the smartest, and it didn't occur to me like that at the time, but thinking back, you know, it had more and more an impact on me that, because I could relate to him, you know? I felt the same way. I was like, I have no faith. Like, how come I'm not convinced? I'm not sure. I'm uncertain. I have uncertainty. I have doubt. So I was looking for some philosophy, and I hadn't experienced that. So when I came to Krishna consciousness, and I had found that philosophy in Bhagavad Gita, but I still had sort of this uncertainty of like, okay, but what about Gornitai? So I was so inspired by seeing them on the altar, though I was so attracted to them. Every picture I had seen of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu somehow attracted me. The deities in the temple room, the photographs, the paintings of the Lord. And so I inquired about this, and so I got to have a better knowledge of the Lord and his appearance as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even at the around the same time, before my knowledge of the Lord was very, very, I had more of an understanding of his pastimes. It was the first Gaur Purnim. I remember my first Gaur Purnim festival. And, you know, I wasn't going to go. I don't recall how many months I had been in Krishna consciousness, but it wasn't very many months. But I was chanting regularly. And so a Shiksha guru of mine, he invited me. And the way he invited me actually made me curious and really want to come to the festival for the first time. Really, he just asked me, will you come to the Gaur Purnim festival? Don't you know who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is? You know? And I really appreciated this mood of the devotees of, you know, this is God. You must follow. No, you know? It was always about, like, where am I at in my spiritual life? You know, the devotee can see the heart of everybody. And he can see the Lord there. And Krishna is the same way. The devotee is that same way as the Lord and how he attracts the living entities to Krishna consciousness. The devotee will meet you where you are. He won't try to falsely, well, I say false, but he won't try to, you know, this word preaching kind of can have a negative connotation. Of evangelical style of, you know, attracting somebody. But it's not very attractive when somebody kind of, almost in a sense, you feel forced. So my experience with the devotees when I first met them is that they were self-satisfied, and that's the thing that attracted me the most. And also they would many times meet me where I was at spiritually, and this attracted me more than anything else. If you just told me this is God, I probably would question that and be skeptical, you know, I was attracted because they would meet me where I was at in my own spiritual life, and they could see that, you know, with a very trained eye, and so they were very expert at attracting me to just whatever I was willing to experience. And so that question, don't you know who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, really inspired me, like, oh, I want to find out. He's God. You know, what if he's God? That at the time that was the answer. I wanted to answer that question. What if he is God? So now I'm very fortunate that I have Sri Sri Nitai Gaurachandra in my home. These two boys, and every morning I can worship them, and every day and every night I can see them before I go to sleep. And I really, really feel blessed by that. You know, so they were named by my guru, Sri Sri Nitai Gaurachandra. And, you know, I just remember how they came, also have their own mystical appearance in our home. And, you know, I just imagine that a devotee who had some special relationship with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, was living in Mayapur. So I had been to Vrindavan and Mayapur, and I kind of had a sense of, you know, I really was hoping the Lord would come in a form that I could worship him. So I asked this devotee who had a special relationship with the Lord to see if she could bring home a Neem Nitai Gaura. So found the forms, you know, found that the person who carved the deities in Navadvip and asked that devotee to carve Nitai Gaura in Neem there. And then, you know, how to bring them back. They just were there waiting, you know, for over a year. So when I asked my guru for some name, he came up with this name from a bhajan, which I'll read shortly and try to tie into sort of the message of this discussion, that, you know, we have to be, it's not a once in a lifetime experience. It's a once in an 8,640,000,000 years. And the Lord's mercy can touch us even if we're unwilling. But if we can make ourselves available to receive that mercy, it will really change our lives. So Prabhupada, he made this statement that was kind of, so when, it was kind of very, very poignant to me, as far as devotees would be surprised when other devotees would leave Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, he said, you know, we should be surprised when devotees stay in Krishna consciousness. And it's kind of the opposite of what one would think. But the material energy is so heavy that, you know, we may only have a short experience. So I thought, why is that? I had some curiosity about why, you know, because I was thinking, well, if this happens to others, well, maybe it would happen to me. And why is that? Before I came to Krishna consciousness, I gave up the intoxication. So that wasn't something that I really had to struggle with, to give up drugs and alcohol, but I had to struggle with giving up eating meat, which was easy, much easier than I thought, even though I had been eating meat for 20-something years, you know, over a several-month period of taking prasadam and dancing and chanting. It wasn't like really a choice. You know, people have to make a conscious choice to change their diet. I see it every day as a physician of how hard that is. Not even to give up meat, just to eat a little bit healthier, just to eat less. What to speak of, like, to give up an entire, you know, according to the, you know, what certain organizations say are healthy, you know, meat is like a food group, a protein, but it's really like meat there, you know? To give up a whole food group. How hard is that, you know? And for me, it wasn't really like it. I didn't have to really struggle with that so much after following the process of Krishna consciousness. So when really what makes me, what immunizes me, since vaccines are such a hot topic today, what immunizes me from the material nature is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's chanting the Maha Mantra every day. Chanting a prescribed number of rounds that was given by my spiritual master, through his spiritual master, and following the regular principles. And when we do that, we are immunized from the material energy. Well, that may help some people, you know, kind of get a concept of, you know, what happens and how our lives change. But really, it's the taste. It's replacing something that's not so good with something that's better. It's so to give up an intoxicant, they say that you have to replace it with something that's better. Otherwise, you're going to go back to that intoxication. So for a person to give up an intoxicant, they have to suffer so much, so much. Is that a fact? No, actually, people can give up an intoxicant like that. They just have to replace it with something that is better. So what's better? There's nothing better than Krishna consciousness. There's nothing that brings more happiness and more relief from suffering and more peace than Krishna consciousness. So we have to follow some process. We have to have some change to have a higher taste. We can't expect that it's going to come with no change. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami didn't expect that either. They gave up their material life, their wealth, their position, their fame, their name, everything, to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We don't even have to do that. We don't have to do that. We just have to make some rearrangements. You know? We have to wake up early, we have to go to sleep early. To go to sleep early, we need to make some arrangements the day before. We can still work. We can do our service for Krishna. We can change our lives so that our activities are Krishna conscious and dovetail the two together. And we gain realization through this. In the beginning, I didn't have so much realization, and I didn't have so much faith. But through devotee association, I became more and more enthusiastic, and my faith got stronger and stronger. And Krishna inspires you from within by chanting and by following this process. So to just tell someone, just do this, if you do X, you will experience Y, and then your life will look like Z. It's not so simple. People have to experience for themselves. And they want to experience when they see your example, your good example. This is one of the reasons I'm so grateful to Srila Prabhupada, because of his example and his devotees and disciples who followed him and their example, and how I can see their example and then the example of the Shastra, and I can see that, you know, this is the absolute truth. That this all, everything is confirmed there, you know. It's confirmed in the Guru, it's confirmed in the Shastra by Krishna, and it's confirmed in my heart. That inspires me. And that makes me want to practice and stay in Krishna consciousness. So I'll read a couple of shlokas. The shlokas where I was discussing, or the... So when I was mentioning that devotees will meet you where you are, Krishna will meet you where you are. In Bhagavad Gita 4.11, all of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respect. O son of Prita. So Krishna, if we take, and I've heard this and it made sense to me only after I experienced that, when we take so many steps to Krishna, Krishna takes so many more steps towards us. But he's not going to grab us, you know. Sometimes he slaps us, and I need that slap, you know. I need to struggle to see that this is not real, this is not reality. But when we make a little bit effort to to approach the Guru, to approach Krishna, he reciprocates. And that's my experience, and that's what you read about in the Shastra. And to experience it for yourself, we have to take one or two steps toward Krishna. He's not going to grab us. That's because he loves us. He lets us have some little minute independence so we can enjoy and realize that this is not true enjoyment. Bhagavad Gita 7:25, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my eternal creative potency, Yogamaya. And so, the deluded world knows me not, who am unborn and infallible. So for those who reject the Lord, he lets them enjoy. He lets them be bewildered. That's their choice. That's what they want. But the Lord's so merciful that even through some indirect connection with the devotees, hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, taking prasadam, doing some service for a devotee unknowingly, they will receive some mercy. And it may take another birth and another birth and another birth. But you know what? Lord Chaitanya only appears every 8,640,000,000 years. If I'm here now, you know how many births it's taken me to get here? Why am I not going to try and follow the process? You know? Or why am I going to follow the process and then let it go and fall down back into the material nature? Why am I going to waste another birth? And so, Prabhupada, he speaks about this. Prabhupada used to beg devotees to stay, and he cried for devotees who left, and he would chastise devotees who spoke poorly about devotees who left Krishna consciousness. That's how much Prabhupada loved people, everyone. He could see in their heart, he could see that everyone was a devotee. He would tell his devotees, if you treat them poorly, if you speak of them poorly, how are they ever going to come back? And that was really touching. That really was touching to me. Prabhupada, this is a paraphrase quote from Srila Prabhupada. If you leave Krishna consciousness, you are the most unfortunate. More unfortunate than those who didn't come. Don't think that you will come back in your next life as a devotee, because you may become bewildered as you have this time. You do not realize how fortunate you are to have received Mahaprabhu's mercy. You can dance with Krishna in this life. You're here now. You're hearing the scripture. You know, if there's something that you know that is holding you back from practicing Krishna consciousness, now is your time to focus all your energy on that, you know. If it's intoxication, you know, alcohol or drugs, you know, now is your time to focus on that. If you're not vegetarian, now is the time to focus on that. If you're chanting one round, now is your time to start chanting two rounds. Because this is a very rare opportunity. It's so rare that we can't even get our material mind around it. I mean, I can't conceptualize 8 billion years. I mean, I just can't. But if we have a little bit of faith, then we can have a little bit of more faith by reading the scripture, chanting Hare Krishna, and taking the association of the devotees. So these are a few verses from Lochana Das Thakur's Parama Karuna Pau Dui Jana, Sri Gaur Nityananda Dai. The two lords, Nitai Gaur Chandra, are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that they introduce a process of chanting and dancing that is simply joyful. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagements in sense gratification. Oh, simply chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, without any motive. One has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. So how does one give up sense gratification? he just stops. That's it. There's like no trick or anything to it. If you want to stop drinking alcohol, you stop drinking alcohol. If you want to stop smoking ganja, you stop smoking ganja. How do you stay clean and sober? How do you stay in spiritual life? You have to replace it with a higher taste. Otherwise, you're going to go back. You know, if you're sober right now, that's it. You stopped drinking and smoking. If you're not vegetarian, at this moment, you are vegetarian. How do you stay a vegetarian? How do you stay clean and sober? How do you stay in spiritual life? How do you not eat meat? How do you not smoke or drink alcohol? There has to be something better. Go to the temple. Call a devotee. Chant Hare Krishna. And your life will change. It may not change in that moment, and we all have small fall downs, mental and physical. Not everybody just 100%, you know, one day, you know, living life material sense gratification, and the next day, you know, wearing dhoti, tilak, and chanting in the temple. That happens. But not everybody, it's different for everybody. But the point is that your opportunity is now. It's so rare, don't miss it. We offer our respectful obeisances unto that merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead who has converted all three worlds which were maddened by ignorance and saved them from their diseased condition by making them mad with the nectar of the treasure house of love of God. Let us take full shelter of that Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, whose activities are wonderful. So I'll end there. Any questions or comments?
Thank you very much, Dr. Dina Bandhu, for your really nice class. Thoughtful, very insightful, and it's, as usual, you bring that out as you're talking about your own journey. We think about our own journey. I had a couple of questions. One question was, and I don't know if you know or maybe comfortable knows, but you mentioned that how Sanatan Goswami, you know, he had to go through his thing to make those arrangements, whereas Rupa didn't. We never heard about how Rupa, or at least I'm not aware of how Rupa left his service. He just kind of quit and he disappeared, or I never heard about how Rupa Goswami was able to make that arrangement. Are you aware of anything of that? No. Okay.
I've not read Chaitanya Bhagavad. I don't know. Pranpuru, is it described in elsewhere?
He took a boat,
he put his fortune in the
boat.
Yeah,
but how did he...
He just left.
Okay, he just left.
With the wealth.
He left with the wealth.
Yeah, for him, his challenge was, how he redistributed his wealth. Where Sanatan seemed more like a physical challenge.
Okay. Your question about, you're mentioning later on in the end about, you know, you have to have a higher taste. We all of us are in a situation, we gave up to a certain level, we gave up our lower taste and we took to Krishna consciousness, and we may be practicing for some time, but in Krishna consciousness also we find ourselves, at least for myself, to only have a certain amount of taste. And how to get that higher taste when we don't feel it? For example, like you're saying, if you're drinking, then you come to the temple and get that higher taste, and then you can give up that lower taste. Now we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're doing everything, and yet we need to go deeper. But we don't find that taste, higher taste, so to speak, by it. So how to go about to get that higher taste? When we don't find that it's so tasteful or something.
Yeah, so maybe we're not feeling so inspired on a daily basis. And maybe it's things are feeling monotonous or feeling maybe complacent. Could that be part? Is that kind of... When things that are extraordinary become usual, maybe we can have some complacency or feel uninspired. Or one thing that helped me understand, you know, where I am in my Krishna consciousness is that when I first joined, I felt like I was in a rocket ship there, you know, and then I just kind of felt like, oh, it's not like that anymore. I wanted that like big jump, you know, because for me that was like ecstatic. And now that I've been here for like, you know, 10 or 15 years, it's kind of like, I want another jump. So for me it was like the trajectory, the acceleration that I kind of miss, because now it just feels like it's gone down. But really what helps my mind, like kind of keep my mind at ease, is that it's a plateau. You know, we are up there, but we changed the slope. So how do we realize that we're up here and that we've come all this way and we want to increase the slope again? And how do we increase the slope again? I think like maybe like physics, you know. That kind of helps me. That's the way my mind operates, is to think about it like math. So then I asked myself, well, how did I get on that when I had the steep slope? How did I start onto the steep slope? So I was inspired by devotees and hearing from devotees. Well, I'm hearing. I listen to lectures. You know, I go to temple. I follow the morning program. I'm doing that. Okay, so what can we do differently? Okay, I made a lot of changes. That also put me on the slope. I gave up, you know, I gave up many things. I rearranged my life in a certain way. So then I have to think about, okay, where am I today? So what are my impediments to devotional service? Because the thing about it is, when I first joined, I had so many impediments. You could all see them. The devotees could see them, but I couldn't see them. You know, so as we make advancement in Krishna consciousness, those anarthas are still there. There's a lot of them, a lot. And we gave up a bunch. And when we gave up a bunch, we were just like, wow, this is great. Krishna consciousness is amazing. And then we reached this plateau and we still have this bag of anarthas and we can't see them. So how can we see them? We have to look, we may have to do some different type of work, you know, in anartha nirvritti. This is my experience in anartha nirvritti. To give up those anarthas so we can make another jump. And, you know, it's different for different people. I mean, the program is the same, certainly. But some people, you know, they learn differently. Some people, they can go, they don't have to go to class. They can just look on, you know, watch online. Some people have to actually be in class. So some people like singing. Some people like dancing. Some people like studying the sastra. Some people like, you know, sewing clothes for the deities. I mean, everybody is different. The program is the same, but it's a little different for everybody. So we have different anarthas. And we have many the same anarthas, but they are expressed in our lives differently. So there's some individual component to Krishna consciousness. And my experience is that we have to address that. If we just address, you know, it's going to be good enough for you. Just chant 16 rounds, follow the regular principles, just be patient, it's going to happen for you. That, yes, that is the program for everybody, but it may, to apply in our lives, it's going to be a little bit on an individual basis. So how do you focus individually in your Krishna consciousness? Can be an individual discussion where you reveal your mind to someone you trust, you know, which we call a Shiksha Guru. That's one way. Another way is writing. For me, works. Take an inventory, you know, because all those things are in your mind. It's like I said, we can't see our anarthas, but you know what? Other people can. And when we have difficulties in relationships and challenges that face us in our life, those are because of our anarthas. We don't want to admit that, but, you know, we have a different perception than other people have. And usually when we have some challenge, even if we are 99% right and 1% wrong, it's our duty to focus on that 1%, because that actually is probably more than 1%. And it's some anartha that we are holding on to, and it's holding us back. It's like a weight from going from the plateau back to the trajectory of, wow, this is awesome, you know? I've made so much progress and I can see and feel it. Did that answer? Thank you so much. That was excellent. I mean, that's such an excellent, excellent question, because that really gets to the heart of, I think a lot of people can relate, I can relate to that, and I think a lot of people can relate to that same emotion. Thank you. So while we are unqualified, Krishna has given us mercy. Can you say more about that? Yes, so if we're unqualified, why have we gotten mercy? So we are all qualified. There is no person who is unqualified to experience the mercy of the Lord or Krishna consciousness. I think that terminology of being unqualified, in a sense, is that what unqualifies us and what qualifies us? Okay, what qualifies us? Srila Prabhupada could see that everyone was qualified. That's why when anyone left Krishna consciousness, he cried, he begged for them to stay. Because he's Uttama. He could see that everyone is qualified. Right? Okay, so why are we unqualified? Well, what unqualifies us is that we choose sense gratification. It's a choice. And we pretend like it's not a choice, that it's normal. We pretend like eating meat is normal. We pretend like drinking alcohol is normal. We pretend like ignoring the fact that we have nothing without Krishna is normal. We pretend we're God. That's our disqualification. We're all qualified. We all have Krishna in our heart. We're all jivas. We're all part and parcel of Krishna. And really, Srila Prabhupada qualifies us all. And we're all qualified because of, you know, we are able to follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. That's what qualifies us. So the Lord is always giving mercy because we're part and parcel of Him. That's our qualification. We're not a stone. We're a living entity. That's our qualification. And in this life, Srila Prabhupada qualifies everybody because he's the Shiksha Guru for all people of all time. So if we can follow his instruction, then we can really experience and understand how and why we're qualified. Thank you for that very nice question. Jai, thank you so much. Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Gaura Premanandi.